Hello, this is Joshua Mack, and I am excited to be with you once again, reading through a book by Jeremiah Burroughs on earthly mindedness. We've been talking about this subject a little at church recently, as we've looked at Colossians chapter 3, where Paul says to set our minds on things above and not things that are on the earth. And actually, someone came up to me just yesterday and asked a great question. They said, just a fantastic question. They said, well, this is great. I'm supposed to set my mind on things above, but I work a job and my job is busy and I have a lot of things to do at my job. What are you really talking about? Do you mean that I'm supposed to quit my job and just spend 10 hours a day thinking about the Bible or something? What exactly does it mean to be heavenly minded as a business person, or, you know, you could just name it, a mom, when there are other things that I need to do? And so it's helpful if we don't just say, okay, you need to be heavenly minded, don't be earthly minded, but begin to think specifically about what we're actually talking about when we talk about being earthly minded. And that's what Jeremiah Burroughs is doing. He at least is beginning this book by giving us some characteristics of an earthly minded man. And he said things like, an earthly minded man is a person who's really making an idol out of earthly things. So that's one characteristic. Another characteristic would be that he is reserving his chiefest thoughts, or he says his creamiest thoughts, his best thoughts for the things of the world. That's what really excites him. That's what he spends most of his energy on. He talks about a person who's really distracted by the cares of the world. So this would probably be a person who doesn't necessarily think that things are an idol, but he has become so distracted by the things of the world that he just doesn't have any energy left or any space left in his mind for the things above. Now he's actually on a fifth characteristic. So I think I just gave you a couple there, but there are a few more. And here he is on the fifth characteristic. He says, fifthly, an earthly minded man or woman is one whose great business of his heart and endeavors of his life are about the things of the earth. He makes it his great business, and the strong endeavors of his spirit are exercised in the things of the earth. He eagerly and greedily works with the strongest intention about these things. How the whole soul, the whole man, is laid out about the world. It is the adequate object of his soul. So you see this person who is devoting his greatest energy to the things of the world. That's an earthly minded man. Now someone's going to say, and this is what Burroughs anticipates, someone's going to say, but aren't we all supposed to work, you know? And when we work as Christians, aren't we all supposed to work as hard as we can? And so here Burroughs is going to make a distinction. He says, you'll say, other men are busy in their callings as well as these that you account earthly minded men. So what's the difference? Yes, they work hard, but they're busy in their callings in obedience to God. So the difference is in the heart. All the things that they busy themselves with in the world, were it not under that consideration that they were obeying God in it, they would not be adequate objects for their souls. By an adequate object, I mean that which is sufficient to take up the whole strength of the soul to lay it out fully. So the spiritually minded man works and works hard because it's an opportunity for him to glorify God. But if you took that out, if it weren't an opportunity to glorify God, and if it weren't a way in which he seeks to obey God, then no, he's not going to give that kind of energy to it. And he gives an example. He says, I'll give you this example to show what I mean by an adequate object. You have a little child playing sports. This sport has as much in it as there is in his spirit. There's a kind of equality between his spirit and such a sport. A child receives enough benefit from a sport that it's worth laying out all his strength and might upon it. Now, it may be sometimes a man or woman will play with their child. Unfortunately, nowadays, some adults give as much devotion to sports as children, but I think you're getting the illustration here. A child thinks that sport is life. But imagine a mature person plays a sport with their child. They will play as the child does, but this sport is not an adequate object. A man or woman will play with the child for a while, but there's not enough good in this play to fill their souls, though it is fully adequate to the desires of the child. These things are not fully adequate to the desires of a man or a woman. They have other matters in their head than these, and businesses of a higher nature. And so it is in those that are not earthly minded. Though they may be busied about the things of this world, yet they use the world as if they used it not. The things of the world are not adequate objects to their hearts. A spiritual heart reserves the chief strength of it for higher things. I follow these things in the world, but I reserve the chief strength for a more desirable good. That's really such an important line. Maybe I should say it again. A spiritual heart reserves the chief strength of it for higher things. I follow these things in the world, but I reserve the chief strength for a more desirable good. And I think that's so important because in so many people's lives, it's flipped, right? They are reserving their chief strength for the things of this world, and their least strength, the odds and ends kind of time and effort for the things of God. If a man, he continues, if a man has friends come to him, perhaps some of an ordinary rank come first. He makes ordinary provision for them. But if he has any choice things for entertaining, he reserves them for some choice friends that are coming. So a man that is not of the world, though he may be busy in earthly things, yet the choice of his heart he reserves for things of a higher nature. I remember Tertullian had a speech of the Christians, how they ate and drank when they supped. They ate and drank so as they remembered they were to pray that night before they slept. So a gracious spiritual heart follows his outward business in the world, but remembers he is to converse with God that night before he sleeps, so that he reserves the strength of his spirit for communion with God. But the other, he lays out all his strength as if he had nothing to do afterwards, the earthly-minded man. And this is one of the differences between an earthly and a spiritual heart. It's kind of like when you're doing something fun, but you know that you need to do something more important later. You try to be self-controlled so that you'll have energy to do what matters later. Or if you're eating somewhere and you need to eat to be polite, but you know something good is coming later, you already have a plan for a really fancy meal later, you're going to eat, but you're not going to stuff yourself full because you know something better is coming later. And so as we work to glorify God, but we don't want to work in such a way that we have no energy left for what we really love, which is time with God, devotion to God, prayer, the study of God's word. The apostle would have godly men to use the world as if they used it not. Contrarily, an earthly-minded man uses spiritual things as if he used them not. How an earthly-minded man's heart is in spiritual things, so a spiritual mind is in earthly things. Are you hearing that? It's a really good contrast. An earthly-minded man will do some things that are spiritual. He will come and hear the word. Perhaps he'll pray in his family and read a chapter, but his heart is not there. He does it as if he did it not, comes and hears as if he heard not, and prays as if he prayed not. He does not make it his business to pray or hear. A spiritually minded man does worldly things as if he did them not, in comparison to being busy in spiritual things. Those he does with all his might. An earthly minded man is like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. We read that they were swallowed up by the earth. So the truth is, the things of the earth, contentments, provisions for themselves and families in earthly things, opens and swallows up the very hearts of earthly-minded men. Wow. That is convicting. And part of the reason why I love listening to Jeremiah Burroughs, because it's just so, so different, right? Than even sometimes what passes for normal Christianity. He's taken us back to a different way of thinking, a more biblical way of thinking. A spiritually minded man, he says, does worldly things as if he did them not in comparison to being busy in spiritual things. Sometimes I wonder, you know, when we really want to learn something, what does it look like? What do we do when we really want to learn something, benefit from something? Maybe some of you were good students. If you go back to how you studied in school, if you think about that, how does the effort you made to learn those things compare to the effort you're making to know God's word and to know God? Sometimes I just wonder. Sixth characteristic, and then we'll be done for today. Sixthly, suppose a man does not seem to be so strongly inclined to lay out his whole strength and heart about earthly things. So here's the guy who's like, I actually don't work that hard. Yet when any man or woman shall seek any earthly thing for itself and not in subordination to some higher good, this is an earthly minded man. Anytime the thing is the thing, it's not for something bigger, something better, then we're using it in an earthly way. We're earthly minded people, even if we're not necessarily just kind of workaholics or something like that. He turns to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 to illustrate this. Paul says, while we look not at the things that are seen, for the things that are seen are earthly and temporal. The word is as much as if to say, while we look upon temporal and earthly things that are seen, we do not make them our end. So he's explaining. Paul's not saying, I don't ever see something, you know, in the world. He's saying, this is not our end. This is not our goal. We seek them in subordination. There is something else that we look at as higher in all these things. Now that sounds kind of vague. What does he mean? He illustrates. He says, for instance, a man who is godly follows his business as other men do. But what is it that he would have? It is this. I show my obedience to God, and I would provide those things that may be helpful to me to serve God in my generation. That's my end. I can appeal to God in this, that even in following my business and all outward things, it is so that I might follow God in the use of means for the providing of such things as may enable me to serve him the more in my generation. This is my scope and what I do. So there's kind of just a focus. He's not just working. He's working for a goal. And one of the primary goals he has is so that he can use his talents to glorify God. Another, of course, is just to be thankful. We were made to work. We were made in the image of God. So working and bringing things under dominion in our way is actually part of what it means to be a human. And so as we do that with thankfulness, with gratitude, we really are glorifying God. But now, on the other side, an earthly-minded man makes his scope to follow his business and look about the business of his calling that he might gain. He would get that he might get. That's why he does what he does. He would have more that he might have more, and that he and his children might be somebody in this world. It may be that he might have enough to have his will and lusts, and therefore he follows his business very intently, merely that he may get to satisfy the flesh. Yes, indeed, all the good things that he does, he brings them in subordination to earthly things. So everybody has a goal, even the earthly-minded man. His goal in working is often just to get so that he can get. A spiritual man does not seek earthly things simply for that purpose, but an earthly man does. Or more fully, an earthly man is earthly in all that he does do, both in earthly and spiritual things. And a spiritually-minded man is spiritual in all he does, both in spiritual and in earthly things. When an earthly man is in earthly things, he's altogether earthly. He does not look at obedience to God in what he does. A spiritual man says, I'll follow my calling because God has required it. But an earthly man thinks, I'll follow it because I see gain coming from it. This is earthly. Though the things are lawful, and it's your duty to follow your calling, but to follow it merely for gain, this is earthly. But because it is your duty and it's the place that God has set you in, that is spirituality in earthly things. An earthly man is earthly in earthly things, and he's more earthly in spiritual things. When he performs spiritual duties, he has an earthly end in it, either because he's afraid of what people think, or to get approval from others, or to try to cover some evil, perhaps merely for form or fashion. He does it in an earthly way, and it may be at most that he does it merely for his own peace, to satisfy his own conscience. Now, a spiritual man is spiritual in earthly things. One of a spiritual mind is more heavenly and spiritual when he's about his calling, though it be the lowest, like cutting hedges, digging ditches, pulling ropes or lines, or using his axe or hammer. He is more spiritual at those than is an earthly man when he's praying or hearing or receiving sacraments. Certainly it is so, and it will be found to be so at the great day of judgment when all the secrets of all hearts shall be disclosed. And that's a good encouragement at the end to all those whom God has called not to spend all their day just reading a book or reading the Bible, but actually to work. That's a calling from God. It is something that honors God. It is something you were made to do. Your work is an opportunity that you have to glorify God. You're not earthly just because you work. It has to do with why you work and the way you work and what is going on in your heart as you work. Are you devoting your greatest energy to work? Is that the thing, because that's the thing that you're looking to for satisfaction or for reputation or for something else that I can't think of? Or are you working because this is an opportunity to glorify God, because God has given you this particular calling, and because you want to use the work that he's given you as a means to make him look great? Well, that's a start. Six characteristics so far of an earthly-minded man. Next time, we'll get to the seventh.